I have to say, when I looked at the schedule and saw that I was in this session, I was thinking, oh, gee, that doesn't really fit. I can't see how my topic fits in with this section. So I did change some things in what I was originally going to present, and I took some liberties with looking at some of your presentations and kind of incorporated some concepts. So this research was on women leaders in the progressive era, and in nursing I had looked at Nutting, Dock, and Walls. And I guess the question for this session is, what implications do stories of these women have for us today? I have no financial relationships to disclose. Just want to start with a quote, the past, present, and future, a profusion of entangled events, and this comes from Foucault, the philosopher. The world we know is not this ultimately simple configuration where events are reduced to accentuate their essential traits, their final meaning, or their initial and final value. On the contrary, it is a profusion of entangled events. So the past can help us provide insight into ways in which women leaders perceived their world and their professions, the plans they made to bring about changes in education, and the consequences of changes that were made as a result of their efforts. And we're actually benefiting from some of those results. And the ways in which nurses and nursing leaders today can improve nursing, nursing education, and the lives of clients. So the objective for this presentation is to describe the networks used by women leaders in nursing in the progressive era that enabled them to improve nursing, nursing education, and lives of clients. I did complete several years of archival research for part of what I'm presenting today, or for this is just a section of that research. Can't condense 3 years into 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but, you know. You have to talk really fast to do that. Okay. And I collected data from primary and secondary sources and used data triangulation as defined by Norman Denson to assure validity and credibility. Primary sources were minutes from meetings, committee reports, much like what you would look at today, only some of these documents went back to 1893. And so I looked in at the Chicago Historical Society, the library there. I was able to go through the 1893 book of the World's Fair in Chicago. And this is where some of our women's organizations, including the American Nurses Association, began. And it really was the original book with, you know, mold and pages coming apart and everything. So there were minutes from meetings. There were committee reports. I also did some research at Columbia University, both in the Butler Library and in the Health Sciences Library, and went through documents. There are about 90 reels of microfiche on Lillian Wald. So, yes. And you just keep hitting, you know, oh, wait a minute, there was something interesting. So you can find those things. They've been scanned. Some of them haven't. Some of them are still in folders or in old books. Secondary sources, how did I get to those places? Well, I looked at different texts on women in higher education and mined them for primary sources and used archival guides and finding aids to manuscript collections. We have a lot more access to that than had, you know, done this 20 years ago. It would have been very difficult to do because many libraries now have their collections with aids so that you can fairly easily find things that you're looking for. I say fairly, that's, you know. So what did I find? There were definite connections between a number of nursing leaders. I had to narrow down who I was looking at. I started out with 12 women and about 9 years ago, and my committee said, not doing 12 women. How about three? And I said, man, well, let's say six. And so I did three and three. Yeah. So, you know, I'll meet you halfway. And so I looked at three women actually in nursing, and then I looked at three women involved in higher education for women, which I'm not going to talk about as much here other than show you some connections that I think you'll find interesting. So Mary Adelaide Nutting, Lavinia Lloyd Dock, and Lillian Wald. The other thing that came up while I was doing this was how little many nurses and nursing faculty today know about our history. The interaction of women leaders in nursing education through political and social organizations and movements. The impetus of the Columbian Exposition at Chicago was the first meeting of women leaders from around the world. And it was where the founding of the American Society for Superintendents of Training Schools for Nurses, that's why I say society, was actually founded, later became the ANA. Settlements, suffrage movement, and women's organizations. Nursing leaders form networks with other professional women that improve conditions for women and women's education. Nursing leaders were able to achieve outcomes through these relationships among themselves and with other leaders that would have been difficult, if not impossible, otherwise. Just going to go through these fairly quickly. I'm hoping most of you are familiar with these three women. Mary Adelaide Nutting, she didn't use the Mary most of the time. That is her given name. First professor of nursing, for those of you who are in academia, a co-author of a book called The History of Nursing, and you think, well, okay, she died when? And she was writing The History of Nursing. Okay. A founding member of the American Society of Superintendents of Training Schools for Nurses, a founding member of the International Council for Nurses, and she worked with Lillian Wald at the Henry Street Settlement. She was also briefly a superintendent of nursing at Johns Hopkins at the nursing program. So I brought in a little picture of a faculty and residents, early faculty and residents from her era at Johns Hopkins. The other places that faculty resided were in settlement houses, in addition to living in with the school. Lavinia Lloyd Dock, I really identify with her, I have to say. She was a co-author also of The History of Nursing, a founding member of the Society, a founding member of the International Council, and she worked with Lillian Wald at the Henry Street Settlement. And she was a suffragette and a political activist. Lavinia Lloyd Dock was actually arrested and jailed a number of times, spending as long as 3 weeks in jail. She's involved in the labor movement, and that's what mostly got her jailed. It wasn't involved with voting rights for women. It was her involvement with the labor movement. She was involved with voting rights for women. Lillian Wald, the founder of Henry Street Settlement in New York City, founder of public health nursing, say where would we be without her? Honorary member of the society because she wasn't a superintendent of a nursing school. Member of International Council and a suffragette and political activist. Henry Street Settlement is still in New York. Anybody from New York? Okay. Henry Street Settlement, you probably know, is still in New York today. Still active. It does have other sites. This is the original building. This is a picture of Lillian Wald and Mary Brewster in their Henry Street office in 1895, integrating primary care and public health. Okay. That's a concept from someone else's presentation, too. But I just put this in for the heck of it because, okay, so when we do public health nursing, you know, we think about some of the hardships or some of the difficulties in doing that. And this is a nurse from the Henry Street Settlement doing public health nursing, taking a shortcut across the roofs in the tenements in 1910. And their population that they primarily served were immigrants. I said there was more to it. If we look at the right half of this diagram, you see Nutting, Wald, and Dock, and their interrelationships with each other, what organizations they were involved with. But if you look at the other side, and then the middle, you will see how nursing leaders interacted with women leaders from other areas through multiple organizations. And they got a lot of things done that we can't do today by doing this. That's a lesson, I think, that we can learn from history. So we can't duplicate the past, but we can identify, analyze, and represent interactions and relations from events of the past. The study of several women or groups of women, along with the study of organizations and institutions and interrelationships, provides a clear perspective of events and the impact these women were able to have. Now, I threw some things. Okay, the historian has an obligation to untangle that profusion of entangled events. You say to deconstruct or untangle and to reconstruct or piece together. And through investigating the past, we find support for nursing roles and activities today. So when people say to you, well, this, what do nurses have, how can nurses do faculty and residents? We have a history of faculty and residents. You say, you know, what can nurses do with disaster nursing? We have a history of working with disaster nursing. So this isn't new. We have a long history of these things. To find our own present in history and for the future of our profession, we have to seek voices of women from the past. I did throw in some disaster nursing. Florence Nightingale, one of the first disaster nurses. Nurses working in a disaster, the picture in the middle is from the 1930s, 40s. The two on the bottom, World War I and World War II, and recruiting nurses to work not just abroad but in the U.S. in areas of need. Anybody have any quick questions? It's a good question. It's one that I deal with and I, you know, kind of discuss with people. It's a discourse because we're so focused on, well, we have all this knowledge that students have to get, you know, and they have to understand how to start IVs. They have to understand this. They have to know this. And we're so focused on that. No one really teaches history anymore. Before I went into this, if you had asked me if I like history, I would have said, no, I don't like history. And my PhD is in education. It's in education policy studies. And I wanted to teach as a TA in social foundations in education, which is the same thing as community health for teachers, okay? And I was told, well, you have to take history of education. The graduate level. So I did, and this is how I got interested in it. So, yeah. But yeah, but we need to be in touch with our history, and so much we are out of touch. So where do we put it in? It's a discourse. I don't have an answer for it. I know what I do when I'm teaching community health, but how can we get that across to everyone?